Welcome to the Crypto 101 podcast, presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money.
And welcome back from Thanksgiving break. We put out our rundown with Brian and Brendan, a dynamic duo last week, and we said we were going to wait and see what happens over the markets of the low liquidity weekend. And Brian, we're back. You know, the bears said we were dead. We had a couple trying weeks here on the rundown, and we had everybody stick with us. We said we checked. How many times did we check, Ryan? Is the light on? It's on.
Light's still on.
It's still on, baby. Listen, how bullish is this rundown? We'll do you some ETF flows. Even when price is going down, the ETF flows were coming in. Vanguard, the program that we predicted. Sorry, we predicted on this program that one day they will flip. One day they will open the floodgates to Bitcoin. Today is that day, folks. Bank of America is literally telling you, they are giving you personal financial advice, which on this show, you don't get personal financial advice. But Bank of America is giving you personal financial advice, saying 4% buy Bitcoin, buy crypto. The FDIC is looking into implementing the Genius Act. Guys, there's so much Bitcoin and crypto news going on that even Elon Musk is talking about Bitcoin and how energy will be the future of money, and Bitcoin is a practicing asset of energy equals money. We also have some that's why Brian is here. We'll do those at the end of the show. And if we have some time, maybe we'll dive into the prediction markets because we've been having fun with that. Brian, welcome back to the show. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you're ready for the holiday season. But guys, it's awesome to be here. It's a fun day when markets are up. The markets are ripping right now. And Brian, how are you?
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. We had an interesting movement with the prices over the past few days. I'll tell you that. It seemed like when we did our last rundown, we kind of bottom ticked right around there, and then we just kept climbing, and I was loving it over the past few days. And then yesterday, we pretty much got just, it was a sea of red out there, and we were back to like $84,000 Bitcoin. And again, I'm a perma bull, so I wasn't overly concerned, but I don't like to see the market going south. I like when we're all ripping, when we're fun, when we're energetic. And then today had some bullish news come out, some things that we've been talking about for some time, some catalysts, and what we're sitting above about a $92,000 Bitcoin, which it's kind of funny because I feel great at 92,000. If you told me this a couple of months ago, I'd be like, wait, we lost 100. But, you know, it's all relative at the end of the day. There's a lot of bullish reasons out there, and we're going to go over all of them today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's exciting to be here, and I'm getting a reading that I'm getting some technical difficulties on my end. I'm trying to juggle everything here. Brian, I am going to have to maybe refresh and jump out. I'm not quite sure yet. I'm waiting for a confirmation, but let's say I'm going to hand it off to you. If you want to pull up CoinMarketCap on your end and just kind of give us the overview while I try to figure this out.
Yeah. You want me to share the screen?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can.
Oh, okay. Cool. Hold on, everyone. See, when the producer goes down, you got to come in with the cape on here, and I am ready. Let me get a little share screen here for everybody. We're allowing some permissions. All right, there it is. Look at that, man. It's like I've done this before. So looking at CoinMarketCap right now, good old Bitcoin. We just talked about it a moment ago. Over $92,000, absolutely stellar right there. We love to see that because as of yesterday, we were right around $84,000. And I was thinking in my head, are we going to lose that support of 80? But we got some great news out there. There's a lot of reasons we're going to talk about. We talk about all the time on the rundown why we're so bullish in the crypto market. But we're definitely chopping. We got some volatility out there in Ethereum, recaptured that $3,000 mark. And a good old Solana is closing in on $140 as of yesterday. I think it was right around $122. And 140 is a great number to see right now. So we love to see it. But this fear and greed meter is still sitting right around a 16. I don't think we should be in extreme fear. I think there's a lot of reasons that we should be very excited about what's happening right now in the market. A lot of big pieces of news out there. And as of yesterday, I wasn't sure if we were going to have a Santa's rally, but part of me believes that the Santa rally could still be on, but the markets are moving green and we love to see it.
Yeah, mic check, Brian. Can you hear me? Am I coming in?
You sound great, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think there's some type of recording issue, but that's what happens when you do live entertainment. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So we'll push on. But yeah, I agree with you that the fear greed index probably, you know, you're going to see a bounce up into the 20s probably here mid later in the week. Brendan said he's interested in coming back on if he can find the time, maybe Thursday. So we'll do some technical analysis with everybody. My bet is by that time you're going to see this thing in the 20s. Another note that we had was during the last dip, the ETFs last week. So IBIT and all the Bitcoin ETFs were positive. So even though, you know, price went back down to the low 80s, people, you know, again, TradFi and the steady buy from IBIT and all the other ETFs that actually ended up with an inflow on the week, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then this one right here, which I thought is worth bringing up. So what we have here is the number of wallets holding over 1,000 Bitcoin just went vertical. So you can see the disparity on the chart here. The green line is the number of wallets that are holding 1,000 or more were low. And you kind of had that cross intersection. There's a little bit of offloading. We talked about how a lot of the whales were selling, whether it was just they've had enough profit and they're ready to roll, or maybe you have some traders there, some market makers offloading. And then you can see even as price went up, the number of wallets continued to offload, and then just a absolute massive spike there to the upside. And so, you know, that's in my estimation, that's the dip accumulation for a number of different whales. This one me as like, all right, that makes a lot of sense. And this is again, it's never personal financial advice for the show. Brian and I are not financial advisors, just a couple friends talking crypto, but that's a sign that people are starting to step in here.
There's a special group of investors that we watch like hawks. I'm talking about the smart money, okay? These are some of the most wealthy and powerful investors in the entire crypto market, and they tend to find massive opportunities before everyday investors typically do. So when we catch them up to something, we want to make sure to alert our community as soon as flipping possible. Well, some of the best investors we know just made a super bold move. So I'm going to go live this Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern to share the number one type of altcoin that smart money is buying up like crazy right now. And I'm also going to analyze the market in real time to show you where prices could head next. And the best part is it's totally free. But to watch live on Thursday, you got to register first. So you can register simply by going to www.cryptorevolution.com/register right now.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast has partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
If you could only get one altcoin right now, get this one. I'm talking about the coin we believe has the strongest upside potential in today's market. After analyzing hundreds of altcoins, guys, this is the opportunity that keeps me awake with excitement all night. So here's why. It's got the perfect combination of strong fundamentals, proven team, and a catalyst that could send it significantly higher in the coming months. Yet it's still flying under the radar of many retail investors, which means you've still got time to get positioned before the crowd catches on. Look, we believe this is the perfect time to get in on this specific coin. So to get the full breakdown, just go to www.cryptorevolution.com/coin right now. the window of opportunity will not stay open forever.
Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body actually is? I found that out firsthand when I took the True Age test from True Diagnostic, and it completely changed the way I think about my health. With just a simple at-home test, you can find out your true biological age with no doctor visits or labs. Just a quick, painless finger prick. You mail in your sample using a prepaid package, and in 2 to 3 weeks, you will get a detailed online report about your aging and health. The test breaks down how fast 11 key systems like your heart, brain, liver, and lungs are aging, plus 75 longevity biomarkers covering things like metabolic health, immune response, and disease risk. Your biological age, how old your cells and organs really are, is actually the number one predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, and dementia. That's why knowing it can be life-changing, and that's exactly what TrueAge helps you do. They made it so easy to get my blood drawn, show me my results, and give me the data so I could make the perfect action plan for me to better my health. If you're serious about longevity or just curious about what your body's real age is, head to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code Crypto101 for 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com, code Crypto101 for 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Cold mornings, holiday plans. This is when I need my wardrobe to just work. That's why I'm all about Quince. They make it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials and built to hold up without the luxury markup. Quince makes the essentials every guy needs, Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, Italian wool coats that look and feel designer, and denim and chinos that fit just right. Their outerwear lineup is no joke, guys. You have to go check it out. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. By cutting out the middleman and traditional markup, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price. It's everything you actually want to wear. Built to hold up season after season. Guys, the down jacket I picked up from Quince is getting me through the cold winter when I go up north to visit my family. I also got an awesome vest that I like to wear down here in Florida when the weather gets colder as well. It looks super expensive and designer, but again, it's a fraction of the price. Guys, get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled this holiday season with Quince. Don't wait. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your orders and 365 day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. You'll get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, I love to see this as well. And especially when we're still kind of in this tax year of, you know, 2025, you know, you only have to wait 30 more days to, you know, if you're going to start buying heavy, you're back into 2026. But this is great to see because we see this all the time. We were talking about at length about whale selling. They were selling into the ETFs. They were selling when we were at $120,000, $110,000 Bitcoin. Obviously, it must have clicked over at a certain price right around that $80,000 range because, as you can see, they started to gobble it up. And I think that's a really telling sign. So what we saw over the past few days is that traditional finance, the ETFs had positive inflows. TradFi is buying and continuing to buy crypto. And now we have these wallets that have millions and millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin that was selling pretty consistently. Now they decided to flip the script and they're buying it back up. Love to see it. I'm very bullish on this. I don't think a lot of people are talking enough about this because it really shows that there could be some strength in the market right here. Not sure if we're out of the woods yet, but this is some very strong signs that we're, I think there's probably a 40% chance that we did hit that local bottom and we're going to rip up.
Yeah. And everybody, I keep getting the questions of, you know, what happened? Why is Bitcoin down so much? Why is crypto down so much? And there's a variety of reasons. We've tried to cover it the best we can with kind of the liquidity talk and Tom Lee. And then there was the, you know, Tom Lee's mentioning there was the glitch and somebody blew up and they won't name names. I hopefully eventually we get answers. I think there was something over the weekend too. Japanese, I believe, prime minister talked about a little bit more of like a hawkish stance of possibly raising rates and ending free money. And that spooked some people. And that was kind of, again, all this bad news just keeps getting flushed in and flushed out. And I think, I don't know, Brendan might have some thoughts on that as like a global liquidity call. But I don't know. I just feel like we've kind of hit that bottom where, like, yeah, they're just going to pile on the negative news, and you got to see where it goes. And we're in this range of, you know, it could break to the downside to, what, 70, 75, or we're up here in the 90s. You know, that's our band, I think, for the foreseeable future. And then if we can break above it, you know, 100K eventually will be the next magnet to the upside when we clear all this bad news out. But with that said, speaking of accumulating low, I'd like to take a little victory lap on this one with Vanguard allowing crypto ETFs starting today. So it is December 2nd. They are live on Vanguard. I have a Vanguard account that used to have a lot more money in it. And I was part of the plethora that was just transferring money out. And it was partly protest, but partly because I just think that, you know, they weren't listening to the users. They were parading around that Bitcoin was a bad asset, all while letting people buy MicroStrategy, which we've talked about on here. Never made any sense. Like, oh, you can't buy the Bitcoin ETF, but you can buy leveraged, you know, Bitcoin treasury company. Never made any sense. But they finally bent the knee. And before we kind of kick it around, it is something that, you know, we haven't covered lately because it's been kind of back, you know, backdoor news. But when this was going on, I remember us really tossing this football around, especially Brendan and I, have just kind of going on rants how it was ridiculous. And they since then they've moved on. But I found a clip of their new I found a clip of their old CEO talking about Bitcoin. Now he's no longer around for reasons that are pretty obvious. But let's hear just the verbiage, because I think this is early 24 when the ETS first went live, and the old Vanguard CEO, the verbiage around Bitcoin, just to see how far we've come, I think, of all the big dogs kind of accepting it.
Spot Bitcoin ETFs. Mm-hmm. Question came in. Hey, we know you're not offering one. Have you changed your mind? What would it take for you to change your mind? We don't plan to, and we don't. Like, we're not going to change our minds around this unless the asset class changes.
Yep.
Before, why? First of all, we don't believe it belongs. Like, a Bitcoin ETF belongs in a long-term portfolio. If someone's saving for their retirement, it's a speculative asset.
That's exactly it.
And the funds that we offer invest in asset classes that actually have underlying cash flow. So, like we mentioned stocks, you're buying the forward earnings of a company.
That's right.
And that bond, right?
As coupon and principal payment.
Yeah, you're going to pay me back and you're paying me something for lending you the money.
Exactly.
Right. So they both can be valued. And that's for us, we and understand why they would rise up in a portfolio and the role they will play, and we can model them. Something like Bitcoin is just too volatile, and it's not a store of value. It hasn't been. Mm. And it's very volatile. When stocks got hammered in recent crises, that Bitcoin went right with them. And so it is speculative. Really tough to think about how it belongs in a long-term portfolio.
Now, I don't think he's wrong in the sense that saying it's, you know, it's a speculative asset, which we all agree, you know, it is, in the sense of having it available and letting your customers educate and make their own decision. We think they were completely wrong. And then, you know, this was kind of the ETFs were just coming out, and, you know, they kind of took their hard stance of a no. And then I find it really interesting that they're going live this week as BlackRock's parading around that the Bitcoin ETFs are its top source of revenue, which I think is congratulations to them, I guess. But it's just you could see why the CEO of Vanguard, who made that statement, is no longer the CEO of Vanguard.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty big news. I mean, Vanguard's an $11 trillion asset manager, and it reversed its longtime stance of anti-crypto, and it's now embracing crypto. It's not just embracing Bitcoin and Ethereum. They're also offering ways to get the Solana and XRP ETF as well. So they didn't even just dip their toes in and say, like, hey, we're going to offer you a Bitcoin ETF. They're like, we're just giving you the full catalog right now. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, a Ripple. And I think it should be the person's whoever puts their funds with Vanguard, it should be their decision if they want to invest in those assets or not. I'm big on that. I'm big on decentralization and making our own decisions. So it's great to see Vanguard making this move. And it's an interesting time for them to make this announcement. Do you think this is a big reason why we're seeing this pump today?
I think it, I mean, I don't think you can test the, like, what is it, a 5 to 7% pump on Bitcoin just as Vanguard. But I think that it's telling of, you know, that this is early innings. Again, I think in this crypto story, I was thinking about this today. It's kind of more of a general rant, but it's like this cycle specifically for crypto and Bitcoin has been paired with this AI super cycle, kind of the 2022 lows of that bear market, you know, and whether it was the tech trade sell-off, all these massive tech companies went down, you know, 30, 50% plus, obviously the FTX and crypto crash. It all kind of has had a great couple years. You know, we're entering into this, you know, what, third, fourth year of this bull market. And we've kind of been side by side with the AI trade, where I think, you know, maybe that's why some of, just again, a thought think tank series of, like, you know, why didn't altcoin season come as much as it did? Well, you had all these new products, so people were funneling around the blue chips. But also there's been this AI trade that's taken a ton, trillions of dollars of liquidity from investment in the markets. And so kind of having those two stories side by side, it's a lot easier, especially for the old dogs, just to say, hey, like, we're going to stick with this AI trade. It's the hot new thing. And when you have all your money and life's work inside of an account like Vanguard, you don't even have access to it. And you're listening to, you know, their financial advisors who are saying exactly what the CEO is saying. And so now you can tell that all that tide's turning. And we've talked about kind of just the macro markets in general, how, you know, we don't think the AI trade is quite in a bubble, especially if you compare it to 2000. And then you got to bring into effect that, hey, if we're in the, let's throw out, you know, baseball, 9-inning game, right? Hey, if we're in the third, fourth, fifth inning of the AI trade, you're kind of in those early innings as well with Bitcoin and crypto adoption. Again, you're not in the first inning, but you know, when you're getting Vanguard to finally bend the knee and offer it, you're not in the ninth inning either.
Yeah. I mean, this is big news out there, and there can still be some volatility in the price of Bitcoin in the crypto market. I even see somebody made a comment that Bitcoin may go down to $80,000 again. That's entirely possible. I don't think we're completely out of the woods yet, but it does feel like the pros or the bull case feels a lot stronger than the bear case. Of course, we could go down. That could happen with macro news, and just anything could happen out there. But when you talk about Vanguard, Bank of America, the 401k options, brokers offering it now, we got rate cuts coming next month, more likely, possible new Fed chair. There's a lot of reasons to be bullish about where we're headed in the future. So, of course, we could still go down. We could take a dip. But that's why when we get these major sell-offs, if it's fundamentally not something wrong, not something broken, I don't get too scared. I look at it as another opportunity to build my bag a little bit. Again, not financial advice. This is my own personal decision, but I'm very bullish on where we're headed. And there's a lot of traditional finance that looks like to be following us in the same way.
Yeah. And again, building off, you suck it in there, but the Bank of America, 4% recommendation for Bitcoin and crypto. This just posted up today along with the Vanguard news, and I tried to dive in to see if I wonder, let's just open up the article, let's see what we can find here. I wonder if they get more specific, because obviously Bitcoin makes sense. When they say crypto, I wonder if they dive into that at all and get specific of obviously the Bitcoin ETF versus what altcoins they could be recommending. I don't really see any. They're saying the Matrix, IBIT.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Bitcoin ETFs, yeah. Allocations.
I guess keeping that open-ended, but I think this is bigger. Dare I say this is bigger than Vanguard opening it up. Maybe on the same level of, like, that's a bold statement, 4%. I mean, it feels like since we've been waiting and having, like, the Matt Hogans of the world back before the ETFs were live, they've been coming on and saying, hey, it's like 1%. We're trying to get everybody to 1%. Get off zero onto 1%. And then you started hearing these, you know, 1 to 5%, 1 to 3. And then there was, you know, a couple people say more than that. But when you start seeing Bank of America, Vanguard, and we have some JP Morgan stuff coming up, like, you know, again, the people that have been, you know, just anti this movement and this technology and is starting to come around and start talking differently. It is you have to make your own decisions, but these shakeouts and these drawdowns, just, you know, depending on how you decide to act on it, just feels like, you know, you don't want to sell your bags to these companies that come in and build products around. And we've said it countless times of like building this stuff, not to get rid of it in a year, 2-5 years, like you implement and implement these products. These are long-term plays.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, Bank of America, I think I saw it was a $2 trillion bank and wealth management company. I know it's definitely in the trillions. And they're now allowing their advisors to allocate, and they're recommending 1% to 4% in Bitcoin starting in January. This is just another big headline. And it's just another point to show that traditional finance, and there's a bigger appetite for crypto and crypto assets moving forward. Sure, we'll have some short-term volatility where it's obviously going to react a lot harsher compared to some other markets. But I don't know. I'm not trying to sell my bags to banks right now. I'm in it for a while.
And the runway is set. So you brought this up. It was great. The FDIC is looking to propose Genius Act implementation framework this month. And so obviously the Genius Act has a ton of pro crypto policies in it, mainly around stable coins and other crypto assets. So when the FDIC, and that's the people that insure your bank, right? So if you have a bank account, I think the number might be 250K. Don't quote me on that. But the FDIC, which is the government, insures your money in a bank up to a certain amount. So if something happens, you know, the government's backing it. So the fact that the government is all these pro Genius Act framework for bills that are getting passed, the FDIC could, you know, start backing some banking products that are, you know, have stablecoin rails, crypto rails. I know that's something that, you know, Scott Bessent has been really interested in trying to get, you know, stable coins more into the system. So again, I think we're in the early innings of this stuff. I saw a quote from Paul Atkins. I don't have it pulled, but he was, you know, again, building guardrails, giving crypto companies that it was like a crypto innovation type policy to allow crypto companies to IPO maybe easier than the average hoops you have to jump through. So again, trying to bring crypto more into the public markets is all I'm seeing. Again, it's that differentiation of the fundamentals. So when you see price action falling like it has so violently, you start looking around, be like, well, what's changed? Like, has my fundamental story and the belief in this, you know, system, product, technology, has anything changed for you? And I think what we've tried to do on this show is like, hey, whoever had a crystal ball, whoever has the crystal ball would make trillions. Nobody has that. Even the big, you know, the big guys that everybody loves, the Tom Lees, have been, you know, changing their price targets and timelines, and nobody has a crystal ball. But what we've been trying to do for you here is gather all the information and try to bring it to you the best that we can. And from our vantage point, this fund, the fundamentals of our belief in this, and I don't want to speak for you, Brian, but I'll tee up for to chime in, is like the fundamentals haven't changed. We've just been underneath the covers. Yes, the price action has been lowered, but the fundamentals of what we're looking for to keep moving this industry forward has continued along in a positive way.
Yeah, you nailed it, Tivo. And gone are the days where we're opening up articles that say the United States is banning crypto and digital assets. I mean, that was in past cycles, those were literal, real headlines in what the United States was trying to do. Now we're opening up articles where it's the FDIC is proposing rules to implement the Genius Act to support stablecoins through all of these non-bank and bank companies. So we're embracing stablecoins with Fed supervision, making it so it's safer and it's a one-to-one backed asset, so we don't have another Terra Luna collapse. At the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is that we're getting strong bullish news coming from our administration, coming from the government. We're building framework to really become a crypto leader. And again, the price doesn't always reflect that because it's still considered a risk asset. And it's volatile. And volatility, I say it all the time, is not necessarily a bad thing. But when you just kind of peel back the layers of the onion and you just really look at the meat here, we have pro-administration. We have the FDIC, the SEC now embracing crypto. We have the stablecoin legislation. We have Bank of America, Vanguard, JP Morgan, all embracing crypto and crypto framework. They're not going to unravel this 2-3 years down the line. This is moving forward. Maybe the price doesn't reflect it as strong as we would hope, But again, it's pretty obvious that this entire country is trying to move forward and utilize blockchain and digital assets in a positive way. And like you said, we bring this to the show. We do our own research. We have our own kind of gut feeling of what's happening. Nobody has a crystal ball, but it really, the facts are is that we're moving forward as a country to embrace crypto. It's very clear.
Yeah. Just before we move on, I'll share something with the audience here. I have this thing on my desk when times get hard, I have the positive poo affirmations, Brian. So when things get tough, sometimes you just need a positive poo affirmation. And so we've been talking now, the price action has been killing us. Everybody's been feeling it. And sometimes it's hard to come on and make a show and give, you know, good vibes to the people. But I had this positive poo affirmation here, and I just, the other week, right before Thanksgiving, I grabbed one out, I opened it up, and I was just like, stay resilient, every storm passes. If you see there, stay resilient, every storm passes, from my positive poo affirmation. And I think it's a testament to where the market is today. So thank you, positive poos, for keeping me on track. Speaking of keeping everybody on track, Sailor making some moves, and then we've got a whole little segment here around MSTR and MSTR raising cash. Brian, cash, is that US dollars, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, he's stacked with a $1.4 billion of a cash reserve. I think he announced it yesterday to help pay dividends and really to just have a runway there. And you could look at this a couple of different ways. You could look at it as bearish. You could look at it as bullish, or just really, well, I guess not one of two ways, one of three ways, or really just neutral. This is neutral in my eyes, even though I think they even bought like a quite $11 billion worth of Bitcoin as well. So they're still buying Bitcoin. They're still holding Bitcoin. They're not selling their Bitcoin. But Michael Saylor, as the Giga Chad himself, the permabull of all permabulls, is like, hey, there's volatility in the market. I'm not going to want to sell my Bitcoin if we continue to bleed out for dividends. So he put a cash reserve of $1.44 billion and for dividends. And I think that gives him like 18 months of runway, I read somewhere along those lines. So it's probably just smart at the end of the day, because he knows it's a volatile asset class, but he's continuing to buy Bitcoin. And I'm sure if we had Michael Saylor on the show right now, he would give us a very elegant reason why he's such a still a Bitcoin bull and reasons. And he would just say, hey, I'm putting a couple billion to the side as cash, so we're not strapped, you know? It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think the financial alchemy that's going on, not just at MicroStrategy, but with all the other products of, you know, I know Strategy is the main one, and then they have all those products. It's a little bit above my pay grade to understand. I've tried to look into them, but so I don't want to speak on how they work because it's a little above my understanding. But I know that, you know, that's what this money's for, saying, hey, I have these products that are giving out these high dividends. I'm raising enough cash to know that I can, you know, guarantee my commitments to the shareholders. Again, it looks smart if Bitcoin rallies back to what, 120, goes back to all-time highs, and then he's got all this cash for dividends, and maybe he could use some of that cash to go buy more Bitcoin, or the stock rises so you can offer more at the money. He's doing the financial alchemy that he does. Again, if you're subscribing to the religion of Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy, you're definitely defending it. If you're somebody that doesn't believe in it, you're saying that he's panicking. I'm with you. I'm neutral in the middle. If you're interested in it, in his products, you have to go do your own research and see if that's somewhere you want to be. And if not, you can just, you know, buy Bitcoin and spot and stack your own sats. So, you know, I think that's kind of how I've always looked at MicroStrategy. I think it's, you know, he's obviously a godfather and leader of the space. So when he does something, it's worth noting. But you don't have to be all in with him. And I think, again, raising the money is, I'll say this, on the business news channels, the A block yesterday was Saylor panicking, but I don't necessarily feel it that way. I think the most interesting thing with some of this is that MicroStrategy's stock is starting to actually trade below its net asset value on Bitcoin. So I saw this from, again, our friends over at the Kobesi letter. Holdings, $55 billion. Debt, $8 billion. Cash reserves announced today, $1.4 billion. You know, debt plus cash, $48 billion. Market cap, $45 billion. So you're $3 billion off. Could be interesting. Like, this is the stuff that I like. Full disclosure, as a, like a trader, when I try and find kind of some of these asymmetric plays, I do like them. So this is now on my radar of seeing, again, if this gets a little bit wider, you could have a little bit of quote unquote arbitrage maybe with MicroStrategy, obviously with some higher risk, but I played this really well, and I kind of give it up to Bryce because he was kind of coaching me through the information on it. But it was when, this is back in the depths of the 2022 bear that we were just talking about earlier, Grayscale Trust. This is before it was an ETF. At one point, it was trading at like a 50% discount of its Bitcoin holdings. And I was kind of talking with Bryce. He's educating on me. I was just like, yeah, this is kind of, I like this. I like this type of play. And I remember going in on the Grayscale Trust. And I think Bitcoin went up, you know, 50% at one point, and my Grayscale Trust went up 100%. And then I did sell that off as kind of like a trade. But this is something to watch for me. So any thoughts on that? If Strategy market cap keeps bleeding lower than their Bitcoin holdings?
No, I like that arbitrage opportunity. And again, they're still holding $55 billion worth of Bitcoin. So I do think the talking heads on the news yesterday saying he was panicking feels very clickbaity to me. They want you to watch. There's a lot of people pumping as much fear and uncertainty and doubt as possible to us. Now, am I saying that Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy, they have a very high risk, very volatile way they're handling, you know, MicroStrategy and their books and their money right now? I don't look at it as a bad thing that they have, $1.4 billion in cash reserve just to weather the storm, if we even get the storm. It doesn't seem all that bad. You're slightly hedging your bet, but you nailed it. When you have holdings are what, 3.4 above the company's market cap? Yeah, if it keeps bleeding, you gave a great example there that, you know, there will be an arbitrage opportunity. So it's something to keep our eyes on, obviously. But I'm really neutral with everything that's happening here. I watched so many shows yesterday where people were just saying that this is the end for MicroStrategy. I don't know. I'm not on that bandwagon.
Yeah, it feels like one of those things like Bitcoin's dead and then it comes back. And I had a great trade earlier in the year, not crypto related, was like the quantum computing stuff shot up and then it died. And when it was dying, I kind of, around the tariff time, I was like, well, this is only dying because everybody thinks the world's ending. The world's not ending, so this is going to be a fun little rebound trade. And I went in on like Rigetti and all that stuff, and again, that flew back. So again, you kind of got to understand your trades, your entries, your exits, but I'm a big sentiment guy. That's my, you know, my main role here is gathering up all the sentiment. And the second that JP Morgan loves Bitcoin continues on, as JP Morgan is moving Bitcoin into the bond market, creating a product here that's kind of giving you stuff that we've seen basically Michael Saylor do, kind of taking, this is why I put this here,
yeah,
taking the Saylor playbook and starting to offer it to their own people, right? Like, hey, you're protected on the downside and you still get a little bit of the upside, the volatility, kind of financial alchemy of these products around Bitcoin. And I thought it was interesting to put it right after the MicroStrategy discussion, because last week we talked about how, MSCI was kind of going after MicroStrategy and saying, hey, we might boot them out and not let them in, you know, some of our collection of companies. And now JP Morgan's making products similar to Strategy. So, like, could you make a, you know, if we wanted to get out the tinfoil, I got my kitchen over there, we go get some tinfoil and like wrap our heads around it. And if you wanted to do like the conspiracy theory stuff, is there a plot to try to take down Strategy and Michael Saylor so that JP Morgan and Jamie Dimon can start offering the same products that Strategy does?
Yeah, I could get on board with that. I could be convinced of that for sure, because I think there's a lot going on between the sheets here, between what JP Morgan's planning, what Saylor's planning. We could speculate till the day's end. We could speculate for 2 hours on the rundown here of exactly what this means and what they're trying to figure out. But at the end of the day, good old JP Morgan, who is anti-crypto, just a couple years ago. That was anti-crypto a year ago, is now offering even more products out there, integrating Bitcoin. And, you know, Jamie Dimon's a secret Bitcoin bull. I want to know what his personal holdings are.
I think I said one time on the show, was like, if there was, you know, in the prediction markets, if there was a bet that Jamie Dimon was Satoshi Nakamoto, I'd take some action on that. I like that. I like
that. We would have to sprinkle that. You got me laughing pretty hard. I think it was a tweet from our Crypto 101 podcast or something. It was, and I've been stealing it from you, but Jamie Crypto Diamond every time he announces something. And I've used that in text messages to people when I was sharing the message. My uncle is a banker and he loves Jamie Diamond. And when we found out that, like, he was calling it, it's not a pet rock anymore, it's the future, I love Bitcoin, I sent him the article and I'm like, Jamie Crypto Diamond. I don't know. They're flocking to the money. Traditional finance is embracing crypto. It's clear. And I think in a couple years from now, we're going to look back on this and be like, man, wasn't that all so obvious? Like, at the time, it felt scary, but it's just so obvious.
Right. And that's the perfect thought exercise for when FTX was going on and Bitcoin was 16, 18, 20, 25,000. And, you know, I know I just started the company. You were just here. So we're all kind of, you know, in our own little cryptospheres coming together to be a part of Crypto 101. And it was like, it was a scary time. But like, again, we were kind of building towards the future and, you know, started to, you know, buy the dip. And it was very scary just overall. And you're just like, now you look back at that time and be like, what an obvious buy 22,000 for Bitcoin was. Like, what are you talking about? Why wouldn't you mortgage, again, never do this, but why wouldn't you mortgage the house back in 22 and buy everything you could? And it's like, there's different levels and times and stuff like that of fear and understanding and consolidation. And then there's times of downwardness and there's times of the upward trend. And it feels like if you look back from that time period, we are kind of due for, like, I don't know if it's a longer term consolidation, whatever you want to call it. But again, I've said on the program so many times, like, you don't get to buy if you're a new to Bitcoin or any asset like that's hot in the streets, NVIDIA, any of the AI trades, you don't get to come in and be like, okay, I'm on board now, I'm going to buy this and ride it 300%. So in my theory that I've said as we've approached 100K, it was like, hey, you have all these new people that are now being like, oh, it's back, it's good, the ETFs, BlackRock, it's okay, I'm in again. I'm in again at 90, I'm in again at 100, I'm in again at 110. Like, you gotta earn your stripes. And I feel like that's where we are in the market right now, is like everybody that might have threw in the towel when they bought at 69 and it went down to 18, they came back 90 to 110. And so they gotta get tested again. You gotta get tested. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to the Crypto 101 pod, you are in the right place to go through those tests, be a part of the community. If you're new, bottom right, hit our logo and subscribe. And again, if you're on the podcast and you're interested in kind of learning more about our community or Brian's community, which we're going to cover, Momentum Moneymakers, in a little bit, check the logo. We got some good offers if you guys want to get more involved with our team. But it's always interesting when Elon Musk talks about Bitcoin, because, you know, he was kind of always one of the OG, like, you know, the crypto people would turn to him for Doge, and just, you know, again, at one point Tesla was accepting Bitcoin. So when he talks about Bitcoin, we listen. So let's listen to the latest Elon quote.
There's still some fundamental currencies, if you will, that are physics based. So energy is the true currency. This is why I said Bitcoin is based on energy. You can't legislate energy. You can't just, you know, pass a law and suddenly have a lot of energy. It's very difficult to generate energy, especially to harness energy in a useful way to do useful work. So I think that probably we won't have money, and probably we'll just have energy, you know, power generation as the de facto currency.
So again, not a huge positive statement, but always interesting. It certainly wasn't negative. And I just find it always interesting when he kind of talks about Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, Elon, you know, is a love-hate relationship sometimes, because he can just tweet some crazy stuff out, like a Doge dog riding, you know, a rocket to Mars. And, you know, everyone's like, who is this guy? But then he says some very intelligent, well thought out things. And I think he makes some really good points there about energy and how valuable energy is and why Bitcoin and its correlation with energy could, you know, just further enhance its value.
Yeah, again, just a absolute wild card, as everybody knows. But again, when he talks positively or negatively about Bitcoin, worth listening and worth chiming in. Let's talk about Ethereum. I think this is something that we'll talk about a couple times over the next couple weeks. But there's the Fusaka upgrade coming on December 3rd. Again, there's a couple upgrades. I remember the last one, was it Pectra, the Pectra upgrade?
Pectra
happened. Yeah, so again, these upgrades come and go, they happen. I think it's, you know, it's interesting to cover it more so after hopefully it goes successful and understanding what kind of it brings. There's usually a little bit of rumblings leading up to it, nothing too crazy, but obviously, you know, Ethereum and Tom Lee's bet is kind of taking the bringing everything on chain, right? Everything from real estate to stocks and everything. So, you know, I'm sure this upgrade has something to do with kind of bringing, if you scroll down here, you know, the consumer apps, faster, safer, easy to use, data scaling, instant transactions, mobile ready wallets. Again, I think it's, we can maybe, who do you think on our team, maybe like Rohit or Brendan, can give us maybe a more full breakdown of when this goes through and goes live, the most exciting parts of what they're looking for. So we'll try to bring that to you guys, but something to watch this week, and hopefully it goes smooth.
Yeah, this is, I think they're announcing this at DevCon 2025 in Osaka, Japan. And that's actually where the name comes from, Fusaka. It's Fulu. It's the star that's linked to the consensus layer. And they pushed it together with Osaka, where this big conference is happening. And just to really make it simple, what this upgrade's all about. And I don't even know if we need to get that deep into it, but it's going to make faster transactions on layer twos. It's going to make cheaper fees on these layer twos. It's going to be better for developers. It's going to be a lot easier for node operators. It's going to be really business friendly. I kind of went down a rabbit hole here about the business friendly, how companies can integrate Ethereum much more easily into their systems because it's going to have this common security standard. And it's with this all being said, and one reason people love Ethereum, it's going to stay decentralized. So with all these improvements, Ethereum's going to keep its core promise that no single person or company will control it. But we're getting all these great upgrades, cheaper fees, faster, better for developers. So, you know, Pectra was a big upgrade. This is going to be another big upgrade. And of course, with Ethereum and its correlation with stablecoins and the Genius Act and the Clarity Act, this is great. And I was really curious where this name came from. That's why I looked it up, is Fulu and Osaka. So those two names together made the name. Because when I saw this come out, I was like, who's coming up with these names? And at least found the origin of where it came from.
Gotta love that insight from our guy Brian, just doing the deep diving research. And that makes total sense again, right? Like Robinhood building on top of Arbitrum to try to bring, you know, the stock market on chain. You need that. Everything needs to be faster. Everything, the uptime, obviously, you know, Ethereum has the uptime record, just always being online. But the you're going to start building these apps. And so that connection and quickness between the layer twos is going to be pivotal. And then the gas fees, as everybody knows, if you've been around during a wild bull run, the Ethereum gas fees are something that people start to complain about when they get a little too high. So that'll be interesting to see again when we're kind of in that bull cycle and use is at an all-time high, how will the fees be? But we'll keep tabs on you for that. Again, we'll circle back on that later in the week, and hopefully everything goes smooth for the Ethereum team. Brian, let's do some momentum money makers. Again, I remember, you know, Monad was in the depths of this sell-off. You guys called Monad, which was an actual winner. But we have some news around show mascot, show favorite, Pudgy Penguin. We're doing Pudgy times the NHL. That's awesome. Look at that guy go, huh? What is he? You think, is he a scorer or is he a bruiser? Looks like a scorer.
He looks like a scorer, man. Nice little snapshot there by the guy. Probably put it right in the middle of the goalie's chest, but who's
yeah.
This is great news. And I actually have, from the DraftKings days, I have a relationship, or had a relationship, with the NHLPA. And I don't even know if those, the same guys are still around, but they were always like really interested in NFTs, in blockchain and crypto, and kind of a cutting edge. So I was at the very first Winter Classic. It was in Pittsburgh. I'm a big Pittsburgh Penguin fan. So soft spot. No, wait, maybe it was the second. It was the second Winter Classic, because I think the first one was in Buffalo. I went to the first one, the second Winter Classic. But really cool event for hockey people out there. It gets a lot of hype. A lot of diehard NHL people like myself love to, you know, watch the Winter Classic. It's on New Year's Day. A lot of fun. And again, this just goes to show you how some of these – Pudgy Penguins was a failed NFT company that was acquired by Luka Nets that turned it into a global IP, selling millions of dollars worth of toys. I bought their most recent book. They have a mobile game. They have a meme coin. They're integrating it in all sorts of facets of not just the Web3 world, but as you can see, the Web2 world. And they signed a huge partnership here with the NHL. So I'm again, don't have to just keep screaming from the mountaintops, even though it can be extremely volatile, because when Bitcoin takes a big leg down, of course, some of these meme coins or smaller market cap coins are going to correct even harder, but they're not going anywhere. They just signed a partnership with the NHL in the Winter Classic. Great job by the Pudgy Penguin team. I love what they're doing. I think their IP is one of the strongest IPs in the entire crypto world. And again, I think we're going to be looking back in a couple of years from now and be like, man, you remember us talking about Pengu and the Pudgy Penguin token at the price it was at and what they were doing? And now, you know, I don't want to say they're going to be the next Disney or anything along those lines, but if any Web3 company has a path to really, really pop off and continue moving, it's the Pudgy Penguin team. And, you know, not financial advice. That's why I'm a holder of a lot of their assets as well. I'm just bullish. They know how to move the needle. Luke is a great CEO. They're signing big partnerships. It's just another feather in their cap why they're going to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can attest to this. You know, the knife was falling. It was just bloody week after week after week. I just texted you. I guess I got to buy some Pengu here. Like, that's all I could really do. You know, a little buy the dip action. And while we're here, I saw this on the charts today. Just, I mean, this 24 hour off the bottom for Pengu is pretty gnarly. 30% in 24 hours. Again, people are coming in. People love this thing. But again, for the month, down 30%, in a day, up 30%. This thing is super volatile. You know, a lower market cap than what most people are used to. If you're trading, you know, Bitcoin, Solana, and Ethereum, so you have to be very, very careful, and certainly do your own research. But if you do zoom out, we got to get our chart master Brendan on this one for a long term TA at right here. Don't hate it. Don't hate that support system.
Little curl up there.
Do not.
Yeah. You know, when Bitcoin loses $100,000 and we're speed running to 80,000, of course the Pengu token is going to get sold off,
right,
and be down 50% on the month. That's why it's so important. And I've bought way higher than this, and I've bought lower than this. And I've, majority of my buys have probably been higher than this, obviously, but that doesn't like deter me. It's one of the few like small micro cap or meme coins, whatever you want to call it, that when I buy it, I send it to a private wallet, and I don't really think about it at the end of the day. I'm just like, hey, I'm getting continuously like kind of dollar cost average in, because I love what they're doing. I love the partnerships that they're creating. And I do believe that once we reclaim some all-time highs in some of the majors, that you can see Bitcoin moves 5%. What's Pudgy Penguins do? It moves 30%. So you can catch some really nice numbers in some of these moves. And they're still cooking. They're still doing some fun things out there. And again, I've talked about this on the show. They have the Pudgy Party game. It's on my iPhone. My kids can't get enough of it. It's a smooth, fun game. And I do believe that they'll probably integrate the Pengu token in it eventually and continue to build it out.
Yeah. And the memes, it's fun. Again, price goes up, it's fun to share the memes. Price goes down, it's fun to share the memes, because it's like, hey, you're in your little community suffering together. So, yeah, we pudgy on, we pudgy, we skate. Skate fast. What is it? It's a bar down. Pudgy's a bar
down.
He's not a brute. Yeah, he's a bar down. You've got some information for the hype token to bring to the people here. Some interesting news happened recently.
Yeah. Well, there was. I don't want to call it FUD, but the hype team got a pretty major unlock. I think we mentioned it on the rundown. I know I talked about it briefly with our community. That the hype team, I'm a big Hyperliquid fan. I think it's one of the best perps platforms out there. We're getting easier ways to actually buy the Hyperliquid token, but there was this huge team unlock that was kind of hanging over our heads, and they have some more unlocks coming up, but I believe it was 1.7 million hype was released in the first wave. So that's a substantial amount of hype, even with their buybacks and burns. Everybody was kind of like, what's this hype team going to do with this massive release of tokens? I mean, they all just became instant multimillionaires with this release of tokens. They don't have a huge team, I don't believe. So were they going to just completely dump it on us? And it does feel like the Hyperliquid team has made a lot of strong moves throughout this entire year. In the bear market, in the bull market, it just seems like it makes the right decisions. And we got some good news. They had minimal selling of this first unlock. I believe the Bankless article that you're on right now said that they have 40% of it got restaked. So they restaked 40% of what they actually got. They're doubling down and restaking it. 35% of it they didn't even touch. They kept it in the spot value. And I think it was like 23, 24% that they sold over the counter, which was obviously gobbled up pretty quickly with the buybacks and burns. So the team took a little bit of a payday, which was deserved. That's why they set those things up. You know, they've been building a product. They deserve to get a little bit of payday, but they didn't dump this like a lot of other, I don't want to name the companies out there, but a lot of people would just take it and just dump it on the market and move on. No, they restaked it. They doubled down for another 40%, kept 35% in spot. And of course, they sold some that got gobbled up and didn't really affect the price. So I'm still pretty bullish on the hype team. But when I threw this in our sheet, because I know we've talked about hype in the past on the rundown. A lot of people were talking about these unlocks and what the team was going to do with it. At the end of the day, really a minimal selling. And I feel like it was pretty bullish.
Hey man, you're the reason we listen to. Sorry, you're the reason why we subscribe to Momentum Moneymakers to get the information like this. This is stuff that's kind of buried in the news flow. You're not going to just find this on the timeline anywhere. This is a Brian and Joe specialty. So if that type of stuff is what you're interested in, you want the first alerts for this type of stuff, like we covered the other week with Monad going and ripping 50% off of their call while everything else was bleeding out. It's Momentum Moneymakers. If you're somebody who wants that quicker, actionable information, check the link below for their Momentum Moneymakers VIP. It is open and you guys can join Brian and Joe and get those first alerts. Or if you're interested in something a little bit more of like a first step into crypto, check out the other links down there. I think we have a dollar trial for Crypt Nation as well. To end the show, let's have some fun with the prediction markets. I know just in general, there were some like crazy stat for how much money these guys are bringing in. You sent me the link. I'm going to pull it up now. It's what, $10 billion in combined volume for these guys, Kalshi and Polymarket. Just absolute bananas types of volume and money sloshing around in these prediction markets.
Yeah, these prediction markets, I mean, we got legal battles going on with the state of Nevada and Massachusetts. They're winning, they're losing. These prediction markets aren't going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, for goodness sakes, we had the New York Stock Exchange parent company, the ICE, you know, put $2 billion towards Polymarket for their valuation. So they're not going anywhere anytime soon. Why I thought this was so interesting is at $10 billion combined. I was like, okay, that's great, but that's one of the strongest months we've seen. And that's not during the election. These prediction markets were really hot during the election, during the presidential election. That's when it got a lot of steam. People are now still sticking around, still utilizing it. I know you're into it, my guy, because I'm getting more and more text messages of just absolutely fire pics of you getting in. So you're going to Kalshi.com here and there.
Yeah, man. I've had some heaters. I might be overstepping my friendship with you. I'm firing
All right, text to Brian Sunday morning at 30. I'm watching Meet the Press, and Kevin, you know, Kevin Hassett comes on and just drops some tidbits about, you know, maybe being the Fed choice. And I'm like, oh, I got to jump on this. Like, I go down, and it was like 50-50. And he said, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he said something where it was like, you know, oh, like there's rumors of you being the pick. How do you feel? And then the way he answered the question, just to me, I was just like, he didn't shy away from that at all. Like, you know, most people in that situation be like, oh, well, you know, whatever the president's going to do, I can't really speak on it, blah, blah, blah. Like, he didn't say that. He said something that in my brain, I was like, 50-50 coin flip. I'll take that any day. And then the odds jumped up this week to like 80%. And so that was a great little arbitrage. And I had the, you know, again, it's if I'm the person that's perusing social media for the team. So I get a notice that Trump says he's going to announce the new Fed person in 2025. So I go to Kalshi real quick and I take the 50-50 on it. And then it jumps up to 80. And then I saw the Hassett thing and I cashed out that at a win and dumped it into Hassett. And then Trump today says he's not going to announce it to January.
Sharp.
So like, I feel like I'm sharp right now. I'm sharp.
And, yeah, I mean, Trump's, you know, getting his rate cut. Trump's getting his rate cut, I think, in December, more likely. So he's like, all right, we'll keep, right, we won't embarrass you.
That on five. Exactly. We covered that on the show. And then, so I cashed out Hassett today too, because between the two, it was like 100% win. So I'm like, all right, I'm taking that out, because what I have this week, and we covered this, I think 2 weeks ago, maybe me and you, I put something, there's the Deal Book Summit this week and Bessett's speaking. And we talked about this one on the show. Yeah. You said you were riding with me. I thought you actually went.
No, I'll say, okay, well, slip. It's about Charlie.
All right, we got the slip. Right. So we gave this out 2 weeks ago. And it was, what will Scott Bessent say during the Deal Book interview? We took stock market and stablecoin. Now, stablecoin hasn't moved. It's 24% still. However, we took stock market at 37%, Brian. It's now up to 49%.
I like it. I still have both open, not going to lie. I haven't. It's
Oh, hell yeah. No, we're riding that one to the. That's why I sold the other ones, because I was like, all right, I'm going to let the Bessent one kind of roll out. And it's like, how does he not say stock market? How does he not say? How does he not say that the stock market's at an all time high, or have how many? Like, I don't know if obviously it's not at an all time high at the second, but he's going to say, hey, the stock market has made X amount of all time highs this year under President Trump. That feels like a layup at 50-50 to me. Not financial advice. This is gambling. Now, stablecoin at 24% is not a gimme. I don't think that's a gimme at all. But if they do start talking about bonds, and so here's my thought. There's a method to this madness, Brian. If you just think I'm just in here just firing picks, I'm not. I'm diving into the research. Now, we've had the most success in the bond market since, I believe it was 2020. I forget the exact date, but I've heard, I watch Bessent speak all the time. Something that he is parading right now is how much success he's had in the bond market. And the future of the bond market for him is where he starts talking about stablecoins. So if the conversation goes into the bond market, he's going to hit stablecoins, I think. So I'll take that for 25%. But, I mean, to get stock market at 37% 2 weeks ago, sharp bet, because it's up to 49%. You could already pull out some winnings if you wanted. We're going to let it ride.
I'm looking at some of the other mentions he has here. These are always fun. You know, the mention markets are fun. You know, I don't know how much of an edge there is, but you make some very compelling points. The only thing with the stock market that's going to kill me, and I think we talked about this when we mentioned it, is if he just says stocks, I'll riot. Like, he's like, the stocks are at all-time high. I'll break the computer right in front of everybody. I'll make the kids cry if he just says stocks. So that's a real threat there. But he's a classy guy. He wants to throw that stock market in there. He wants to verbally vomit on us a little bit more and use stock market. So I love both those plays. Mention markets are fun. You know, again, it's you know, hamburger money here that we're playing with.
Tax cut looks tasty at 58%.
It does. I was literally just looking at that. It's up a little bit too, but nothing too crazy. Is this summit tomorrow? December 3rd at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we watch it live? If it's streamed live, should we get on?
I might. I'm in. Fired up again on YouTube. You just see me lose my mind that he says stocks and not stock market. See, recession is always so juicy, but I'm scarred. Ever since you made the recession bet, Al, I'm scarred from that word. No, I can't jump on that, but at 39%.
Yeah, how he said that... there's no signs of recession. Like, that was a layup. That was mean of Jay Powell. That was just bully. Bully.
Not Hassett. He's gonna say recession sometime. He'll be our horse next year in 2026.
Yeah. It never ends. Well, that was a fun one, Brian. We just hit an hour. Thank you to everybody on YouTube. You to everybody on the podcast and audio. I'll be back later this week with Brent. We'll do another episode. And we have a awesome interview out with Humayun Sheikh, the Fetch AI CEO. And that was a juicy one, kind of going over all the ASI Ocean Protocol drama. So if you're interested in the AI coin space in general, we talk about that. But then there's a lot of drama over that. And Bryce and Brendan did a hell of an interview. So go check that out. We appreciate everybody listening. Glad to see some green in the markets. Again, the light stays on, folks. This is Crypto 101. This is The Rundown. We appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll see you all soon. Have a good day, everybody.